This is the fourth and final message on the theme, It's Yeshua, not Jesus, and why this is mandated biblically. Once again, this is the fourth message on the all-important theme, It's Yeshua, not Jesus, and why this is mandated scripturally. Of course, nearly all professing Christians in America hearing this are thinking, what in the world are you talking about? You can't be serious. Everyone knows it's only about Jesus. Well, as shocking as this sounds, we are serious and couldn't be more serious. But let's all realize, no bigger topic on earth can compare with this crucial issue. There's nothing more you can give greater seriousness to than this eternal subject. And yet, the average American, including most professing Christians, think, what in the world are you talking about? To answer that, and as succinctly as possible, this lone subject points to each person's eternal destiny as much as anything. Whether heaven or hell, this point we're dealing with today reveals your soon and eternal destination, guaranteed. It's not what you believe in this very moment on this subject that determines your eternity, but rather how you deal with this matter going forward. Let me repeat that one more time. It's not what you believe today on this subject that determines your eternity, but rather how you deal with this matter hereafter. You see, the Bible clearly teaches those who are truly saved will not only run after righteousness, but also truth. The Bereans in the Bible demonstrated this and were commended for their integrity and spirituality. The same goes for those of us today. If biblical truth is presented to us and it has any credibility, we are not only obligated to check it out, but compelled to see if it's really valid. We can't slough it off. No, if truly saved, the Creator's Spirit within the genuine believer forces him or her to validate and verify. This is especially relevant for crucial biblical matters such as this subject today. So if you tend not to look into matters, especially spiritually, and especially when it comes to crucial biblical doctrines, then the Bible would tell you that heaven is not your home, but rather the dreadful place of eternity that rhymes with smell. And boy, will there ever be an eternal stench there. Of course, humans try to rationalize all their thoughts and to make them such that they feel good about their eternal destiny. Yet, like it or not, the Bible says heaven is only for those who are biblically compliant and run after purity, righteousness, and truth. Is that you? If it is, you will certainly check out our critical subject today, since it is not only at the center of the gospel, it is the biblical gospel. Did you know that the biblical Heavenly Father named Yahweh 7,000 times in the Bible? Yes, 7,000 times, from Genesis to Revelation, intentionally named his only son Yeshua, and he commanded Mary and Joseph to name him Yeshua through the angel Gabriel. Do you realize that? This name of Yeshua was to be known not only in Israel, but throughout the whole world, including us today in the 21st century. You and me. Did you know that? It was to be known not because it was a cool name, but because of its profound biblical meaning. In case you didn't know, biblical names had deep meaning, especially when they were given personally by the Almighty Creator to someone else. Well, this someone else we're speaking of now is the Heavenly Father's only Son, the one He sent to save mankind. If any name were to have special, powerful meaning given by the Creator of the universe, it would certainly be for His only Son, Yeshua. Doesn't that make sense? Though we have shared this meaning many times before, once again, For those who don't remember, Yeshua means Yahweh is the Savior or Redeemer. Did you get that? Yahweh is the Redeemer and Savior. Yet, liberal, backslidden, modern Christianity says Jesus is the Redeemer, not Yahweh, whoever Yahweh is. So, if someone asked you, who's the Savior of the Bible and Christianity, what would you say? Do you know how to answer that by what the Bible actually teaches? So sadly, modern American Christianity has no clue on this subject. But in biblical days, everyone in Israel did. Yet the Bible says we are also to understand this fully in our current times. Okay, let's quickly consider what the Bible has to say about who really is the Savior or Redeemer. If we start in the first covenant scriptures, we can go to many, many passages. Actually, there are about 65 passages that say that the Creator Yahweh is the Savior, the Redeemer. Did you know that? If you are a real Christian, you will have read your Bible enough to know that Yahweh is repeatedly mentioned as the Savior, Redeemer. So as a professing Christian, how do you handle that? Is it the Messiah who's the Savior or His Heavenly Father, Yahweh? Ignorant Christians like to say Jesus is their God, but the Bible clearly refutes this. Yes, Yeshua the Messiah is a part of Almighty Yahweh. Scripture refers to Him as the arm of Almighty Yahweh, so He is fully a part of what the Bible describes as the Supreme One, the Almighty One, Elohim. But Yeshua the Messiah is always subordinate to Almighty Yahweh, never superseding Him. And we'll deal with that a little more later. But for now, let's continue with the theme that the Bible teaches over and over again, that Yahweh is the Savior. For example, Isaiah 45 says Yahweh is the only Savior. Verse 21, and there is no other Elohim or Almighty One beside me, a righteous Elohim and a Savior. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am Elohim Yahweh, and there is no other. As we just read, Yahweh is the Savior of both Jew and Gentile, as He wrote, all the ends of the earth. Next, how about Isaiah 44, which says in verse 6, thus says Yahweh, I am the first, and I am the last, and there is no Almighty Elohim besides me. Then, in Isaiah 43, verse 1, I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Even Yeshua's mother, that is, the Messiah's mother, Mary, claimed this. In Luke 1:46, it says, and Mary said, my soul exalts Almighty Yahweh, and my spirit rejoices in Elohim Yahweh, my Savior. So Mary was saying Yahweh was her Savior. So when the modern Jews insist that the biblical Elohim alone must be their Savior, they are 100% correct, though they sinfully run from His majestic name of Yahweh. Yet they also run from Scripture's teaching on the Messiah, even from their own Torah and Tanakh. This should be enough verses to get the point across that Yahweh is the Savior Redeemer. And yet, what do we do about the verses that say that Yeshua, the Messiah, is the Savior? How do we harmonize those? Well, let's go to Matthew 1, verse 21, and it reads, and she, being Mary, shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this happened that the thing which was spoken from Almighty Yahweh by the prophet, that's Isaiah, would be fulfilled. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, our Elohim is with us. And when Joseph arose from his sleep, he did according to that which the angel of Yahweh had commanded him, and he took his wife. So, Yeshua too is the Savior, but never forget his mandated name, and that it means Yahweh is the ultimate Savior, which we'll soon see. Here are a couple more verses from Acts 5, verses 30-31. The Almighty Elohim of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. He hath, that's Yahweh, exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. These verses say that Yeshua the Messiah gave repentance to Israel, the Jews. Did he not give salvation to the Gentiles as well? Of course he did. But this is just a verse showing how he did first come to his own people, the Jews. Well, Scripture tells us the same situation occurred with his father, Yahweh. Yahweh first came to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And why? He came because those were his first chosen people, the ones he deemed from eternity past to take his name and righteous standards to the rest of the world. Now remember, these people who became the Jews were not Jews before. They were Gentiles. But once they were formed as a nation and as a people, they came under the Jewish title. So as Acts 5 just said, Yeshua was also the Savior. And how about another verse here from 1 John 4:14, and it reads, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the whole world. So here, Yeshua is the Savior of all humanity, Jew and Gentile. We could read verses this whole program that state that Yeshua the Messiah is the Savior, Redeemer of all humankind. There are that many of them to read through the whole program. But yet we could also read through this program the verses that say that Yahweh is the Savior. So then, what do we determine? Are they both the Savior? Absolutely. They both are the Savior of all humanity. And yet, there's another dimension to this. We can't just stop here. Consider this next verse and its implications. In John 14, verse 6, this very, very important and well-known verse, Yeshua said, I am the living Elohim, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to my Father but by me alone. Wow! Few of us really get what this powerful verse is all about. First off, every time Yeshua says, I am, throughout the New Covenant Scriptures, they are many. Every time he says, I am, he is confirming that he is a part of Elohim, the Almighty or Supreme One of the universe. There are no other Elohims, or gods, if you like to use pagan terms. Pagans use the term God, but the Bible refutes that title, much less it being used for a name as wayward Christians do. As we learned recently, the English term God comes from our pagan ancestors of Europe, the Teutons. The Teutons were steeped in paganism and mythologies. And when Christianity came to them, not only was Christianity morphed and liberalized far beyond Scripture, but the Teutons took it even further into paganism. The Teutons called all of their mythological beings gods. So in their pseudo-conversion to Christianity, they continued using their pagan term God for all their pseudo-deities, and now put this satanic term upon who the Bible would describe as Yahweh and Elohim. Of course, the southern pagans, the Greeks and Romans, had long ditched Yahweh's majestic name. So the Teutons were never aware of that. So back to Yeshua in John 14. First, he was stating that he was part of the Bible's only Elohim, and then he stated that he was the way, the truth, and life, and that no person could get to his Father Yahweh except through him. Now, those who claim to be Christians need to read their Bibles, number one, and number two, read them carefully. Yeshua said that only he could lead people to the Father Yahweh, where he alone, that's Yahweh, grants salvation. So what is this telling us? It obviously is telling us that Yahweh is the Heavenly Father, and he alone is the head of Almighty Elohim. Pagans use the term Godhead, but the Bible doesn't. It just tells us that Yahweh and Yeshua are one spirit being. They are fully a part of one another. Yet, Scripture tells us that Yahweh calls the shots, to say it frankly. It then says Yeshua, his son, carries out all of Yahweh's wishes. Scripture also says that Yeshua is the arm of Almighty Yahweh. So if we humans take that simple analogy that our arm is a part of each of us, and it is our head that tells our arm what to do and how to do it, we should get this point as to the relationship of the Father and his Son. Now, though the Messiah is not just an arm with no brain and cognition, like our mortal arms are with each of us, the analogy nonetheless conveys to us that this is how Yeshua operates. Yet he, the Messiah, is entirely subordinate to his Father Yahweh. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, as we head into eternity, all the incredible things that Yeshua has accumulated, he then gives back to his Father Yahweh. There is no place in Scripture, none, even in what people want to incorrectly call the New Testament, which is rightfully called the Renewed Covenant, there are no verses that make Yeshua the head or director of Elohim's ways. None. Zero. Let's next consider the most talked about verse in modern Christianity, John 3:16. And what does it say? For Elohim Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've all heard this verse, and likely many, many times. Yet, what is it clearly telling us? It is telling us that Yahweh is giving the world his Son Yeshua. It is Yahweh's choice alone to give his Son as a Redeemer, not the other way around. Of course, Yeshua being the arm of Yahweh, this was not only a great sacrifice for Yeshua, but Yahweh as well, considering they are one being. And let's not forget another fabulous passage of the Renewed Covenant, and that is from John 17, which we have referred to many times. Here again, we see that it is Yahweh who is determining what is to be done in even those souls who will be saved. In verse 6 of John 17, Yeshua the Messiah said, I have revealed your name, Yahweh, to the children of men, those whom you have given me from the world. Yours they were, and you have given them to me, and they have kept your word. Clearly, Yeshua is saying that it is his Father Yahweh who is determining who will be saved, and that Yahweh has given Yeshua these people for Yeshua to protect and to nurture. We read in the Bible about those who claim to be Christians and yet fall away only to their eternal destruction. The parable of the sower is one of those examples, and very graphic to say the least. And yet, what does Yeshua say in John 17 verse 6? He states emphatically that it is his Father Yahweh alone who determines those to be saved, and that these people who become saved come only through his messianic son, Yeshua. And the evidence that they are really saved is by the fact that Yeshua said, they have kept your word. Did you get that? They're biblically obedient. This is very different than modern Christianity, which teaches that salvation is up to each of us and what we believe in our brain. Folks, belief does not save anyone, nor has it ever. But it does authenticate those who are truly saved. Salvation only comes by Yahweh choosing those for Himself. Even the demons believe accurately and better than any human on earth. They know beyond a shadow of doubt what is true, but obviously they choose not to do it, and in fact, to do the very opposite. But our main point here is that Yahweh and not Yeshua, who is making the ultimate choice for salvation. Yes, they both are the Savior and Redeemer, but it is Yahweh alone who has made this eternal choice. Many, many Bible passages confirm this eternal fact, but here's just one from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48. And as the Gentiles were hearing, they were rejoicing and worshiping Elohim, and they who were appointed to eternal life believed. It doesn't say those who went forward at an altar call, or who accepted Jesus into their heart, or even went to church, or read their Bibles. No, it says those whom Yahweh appointed specifically to eternal life believed. Yet, does this practically mean that we humans shouldn't do anything to pursue Almighty Yahweh and Yeshua? Heaven forbid! The Bible teaches the opposite. It says that humans are to pursue, run after, cry out to Almighty Yahweh and Yeshua. It says today is the day for salvation, and none of us are to let another day go by without devoting our entire lives to our Creator Elohim. No one will ever be able to say rightfully, I didn't go to heaven because I wasn't chosen. No! The heavenly righteous judge will tell them as they head to a very bleak eternity that you alone chose not to run after your Messiah and his Father, Almighty Yahweh. You had every opportunity to pursue them, to find the Scriptures, and to seek them with all your heart. Instead, you alone chose to do everything else in life that appealed to you. Who can honestly argue with that? Next, let's consider what the Apostle Paul said to his audience in the book of Acts chapter 17 at Mars Hill. And he said, starting with 26th verse, And from one blood he made the whole world of humanity to be dwelling on the whole surface of the earth. And he marked out the times in his decrees and set the coasts of the dwelling places of humanity so that they would be seeking and inquiring after the great Elohim, that they may find him by his creation, because also he is not far from every one of us. For it is by him that we have life, and we move and exist. So also some of the wise men among you have said, our lineage is from him. So Yahweh not only made all humanity, but he put it within their hearts to pursue him, as it says here in verse 27, the quote that, they would be seeking and inquiring after him, the great Elohim, that they may find him by his creation, even because he is not far from any of us. And that's just looking around, where we might be living. Yet, we are commanded to go further. We've all heard of the Bible, but it's our obligation to check it out and read it carefully, and to pray over it, and to seek his guidance. But if we choose not to, that's our choice, our free will. We are then deserving of a horrible eternity. We have been given every chance to seek our Messiah every minute of our lives. Yet those minutes and seconds are fast leaving us. Little time remains for us to run after our Messiah and give our lives entirely to him. And let's read two more verses from Acts 17 and Paul's appeal to all of us, starting with verse 30. For the Almighty Creator has banished the times of deception, and at this time he commands all the children of men, everyone, in every place, should return to Elohim, because he has appointed the day in which he is going to judge the whole earth in righteousness by the man whom he has designated, and he has turned everyone to his faith, in that he has raised him from among the dead. Wow! We've all been warned so many times, so don't go blaming it on your heavenly Creator that you aren't in heaven. You've been given every opportunity. We all have. In closing, we didn't have time to go through the hundreds of references in the New Covenant from Matthew to Revelation that speak of Yahweh's relevance in the New Covenant Scriptures and how His name and His worship is mandated for all professing Bible believers. Just remember the last couple chapters of the Bible in Revelation. Revelation 19, where all of those heading into heaven for eternity are singing what? They're singing Praise Yahweh. Also, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, says that every believer heading into heaven will have Yahweh written on their foreheads, just like Aaron of old. Now, what this really means, we don't know. But we know that no one enters heaven that hasn't made Yahweh preeminent, especially when they have heard about Him and did nothing about it while on earth. How foolish can humans be? Sadly, extremely foolish. So once again, it's Yeshua, not Jesus, and why the Bible mandates this. I've personally heard thousands of biblical messages throughout my lifetime, and guess how many I've heard that explain what the name of Jesus means? I haven't heard one. Have you? We've explained many times over why this is so, but the main reason is that pseudo-Christians run from the name of Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, and of course Yeshua, His sacrificial Son. Even though Yahweh wrote His name some 7,000 times in the Bible, sinful humans have removed His name 7,000 times, just like the Jews of old. We want to practice Christianity and the Bible by our sinful standards, not Yahweh's and Yeshua's. Modern Christianity is every much as lost spiritually as was ancient Israel, who also sinfully ran from Yahweh and Yeshua. So just as modern Jews are in gross sin running from their Messiah, Yeshua, so too are modern Christians running from His Father, Yahweh, always called the biblical Almighty One or Elohim in the Bible. Yahweh is where it all starts. Leave Him out and you have pagan pseudo-Christianity. The Bible commands that Yahweh be promoted as its lone Creator, as well as His Messianic Son, Yeshua. They are one, as we've shared many times. Yet, they are distinct as well, each with his own responsibilities and authority. That's why it's Yeshua, not Jesus, who is the gospel. Yeshua points to Yahweh, sharing the same name, but Jesus does not. The modern Jesus, a name invented only some 400 years ago, runs from Yahweh, so heretically. Yes, people can be truly saved by the name of Jesus, but if they're truly saved, they'll be drawn to biblical truth like ants to honey. They can't resist. When they hear programs like this, they'll definitely check it out, and then run to the real biblical names of Yahweh in Yeshua. So we close here with the first couple verses of Psalm 117, which reads, Praise Yahweh, all you nations. Praise Him, all you peoples, because His unmerited favor has prevailed over us. Truly, Yahweh is to eternity. Wow. So we can see there that His salvation isn't just for Jews or just for Gentiles. No, it's for all peoples, all nations. We can be reached at bcmradio@disciples.com. And the four messages in this series can all be heard for free at trueauthority.com. That's trueauthority.com.